Good morning, Bartholomew.
Good morning.
This is the 30th of March, 1980, Taos, New Mexico. We would like to begin with a question on meditation.
Yes.
And in particular, the unseen effects of meditation.
Yes, I ask that this question be brought forward because I think every once in a while it's good to go back to our beginnings where we began a few years ago and to re-remember. Many people come to me and they say, I would like to be in touch with my center. Give me some helpful technique. And of course that depends on the person, so it varies with whoever is before me at the time. But I think what would be most helpful is to present to you a picture of what happens in meditation on the inner levels so that you can perhaps find your own way, because be very clear about this, my friends. No matter what suggestion is given to you by anyone, you may begin on that road, but eventually you must carve your own path. All of the suggestions will be given, and if you follow them carefully, you will begin to get in touch with the vastness within, and that is all well and good. But then you will find that everything, hopefully, is limited. That whatever technique is given to you is a limited technique, and therefore you start yearning to taste something vaster. And the best way to truly get in touch with this kind of phenomenon is to take whatever is given you and throw yourself wholeheartedly into it, and then find that it is limiting and go on to something greater and greater. Do you understand? There are no limits. Please make very clear within your mind that there are no limits to what you can experience, and there's no limit to trusting your own inner movement to find those ways. People like this experience are truly unnecessary when you have really gotten in touch with your own inner mechanism. But I would like to tell you what is the truth of what happens to you. Now, as you sit, if you could see with eyes that transcend the physical, you would be able to see various formations of energy around you. They have different colors, they have different strengths, they have different powers. And this is what all the psychics see. They see you and they say, oh my, you have a green aura, or yours is purple and yours is orange, and so on and so on. And then everyone you see, you see the same person another day, and it's a different combination, you know, and people are so perplexed because one psychic says you're orange and another one says you're green. Well, is one right or one wrong? Well, they're both right, if they know anything at all. And what is really the truth of the statement is that you fluctuate constantly. Your energy fields and the powers that are moving and the energy force itself moves constantly. And sometimes it is perceived one color and sometimes it's another. Everything is in flux. If you're extremely intellectual at one time of your day, one color comes through. If you're very emotional, another color. If you're very quiet, another color. You know, all of the colors of the spectrum are yours. It isn't as if you only are able of having come through you one particular color or even two. So if someone says, your color is blue, I'd say nonsense. Your color is white. And out of that white comes all of the colors. Make no mistake. And you have access to every one of those energy fields. You have access to every one of those energies, whatever way you wish to use them. Do not let anyone limit you, please. It would be unfair. Someone says, oh, you are all only pink. That means that you're only love and you cannot have any intellectual quality. Nonsense. Nonsense. If you wish to limit yourselves, do so. I think it's a great waste of your time, however. So you are a crystal that radiates all the colors. Take them in and use them all and be joyous in the experience of it. But let us speak of meditation and how this all fits in. There is no doubt, absolutely no doubt about the truth, that the divine power lies within you. Then you say to me, then why is it that at some times my entire being is alive with knowing this, and other times I don't know it at all? And then why is it that some people walk around on the earth plane and have never felt it? If it is such a divinely wondrous feeling, why have they not felt it? All right, this is the reason. And this is why I am such an adamant statement. You must spend some time every day in quietude. You must. If you wish to understand who you are. And this is the reason why. There is within each of you this divine energy, but it can manifest in various velocities. It can be a fire with pulsating reality that moves you so much each moment that you are alive with the joy of it. The life force is so alive that you are absolutely dynamically in motion with it. Or it can be so quiet that you don't know it's there. Now, what's the difference? This is the difference. You well know that they have come into their scientific awareness that just perceiving something, looking at something, is enough to begin a movement between what you are looking at and yourself. You've done it countless times without understanding what you're doing. You know all of your great love songs. From across a crowded room, two people's eyes meet, and what happens? All right. Now, what are they saying? They're saying something extremely important as far as meditation is concerned. Out of 150 people in a room, two different entities look across, and perhaps one has his or her back turned, and the other looks. You've tried it yourself. Look at someone who has their back turned. Take the power of your eyes and bore into their back. And what happens? They will turn around. Now why? And this is the secret of meditation. Because what you look upon with the power of your inner being begins to respond. It is so simple. And humans choose to make things so difficult. But the fact is that which you are putting your awareness on begins to take upon it a new life. It responds to you. Do you understand? This is why infants can die in hospitals, because no one is responding to them. And they feel cut off and alone, and they choose to die because there's no quality of life surrounding them. They have only their own, very limited at that time, life force. So they choose to die, you know, in the orphanages and the abandoned children. That's why they die. There's no correspondence of energy that fills their life. And this is what meditation is. When you get quiet and turn within, that part of your being that is characterized as the divine, when you just keep your awareness on it, not knowing what it is, it has no name form. You cannot put a name on it, a form on it. It doesn't have a color or a taste. It just exists as it is. And when you go within and just simply sit there, waiting to feel the movement of that, what you are doing is putting your attention on it, and it begins to move. Do you understand me? It is so utterly simple. And the more that you sit quietly, the more vibrational awareness. It takes life, if you wish. You know, in Christian terms, the heart center bursts into fire. Whatever you wish to say. Use whatever words you choose. The fact is that there is, one, an area of your being that is the divine, and two, if you put your awareness on it, it will come to life. Just because you have it in you doesn't mean you know you have it in you. And my friends, of what utter good is it to know it's there if you cannot make use of it? What possible good to know that you have $1 million in the bank if you don't know how to go and get it? If you don't know what papers to sign, what good is it? You sit around and think about it and think about it, but it doesn't change your life. And so it is with the divine wisdom within. Unless you can get the quietude that begins to build the power. When I speak of building the power, you understand exactly what I mean, don't you? That it is that wondrous keeping in touch with all the time that begins to build the power. And this is why I say, please, do not only rely on your meditations, but have some kind of an awareness within you that will moment to moment keep you in touch with that inner why. Because every moment that you put your attention on your inner, you are building more of the power. It is getting more alive, if you will. It is corresponding more with dynamic energy. It is coming into its own fire. And this is what it's all about. And that is all that it's all about. Every moment of your day, you make your choice. You deal with the periphery of life, or you deal with the core and the center and the source of life. Each thought that you think, each moment of awareness, each moment in time, space, you make your choice. And how you choose it is all that matters. What is your goal? If your goal is to have that so alive in you, that life so alive in you, that everything you do tastes of it and speaks of it and moves with it, then it's your choice. Do it. And don't wait for God to come down and slap you on the head. Do it! Do it! We come back again. What is your goal? If your goal is to be a very active in life and have a wonderful life going and tons of people loving you and enjoying you and so on, fine, then that's your choice. Do it. But then don't go to God and say, well, where are you? That's your problem. That's not his problem. He's there. Where are you? We always come back. Face it, reality. If you are not living a dynamic life of what would be called divine power moving through you, whose problem is it? It's there. It couldn't leave. Why? It can't leave because it is everywhere. It is. There is nowhere in the createdness and in the vastness that you could go that it is not present. And it is not more in one than in another. Nonsense. One person has taken it seriously, the other has not. That's all. One person is being aware, attentive, and bringing it into life. Another is just more concerned with other things. So please, when you sit in meditation, understand what you're doing. The only thing you are doing is giving life to something that is dormant within you, and that is all you're doing. And it's the most simple thing in the world to do. Because it is the most natural. It is that which is closest to your core, closest to your source. It is what you are. It is the eternalness of what you are. A criteria you would like to use? Fine. Just say, is this going to live or is this going to die? And if it's going to die, then decide. How much time do you want to give to it? Is this activity, is this emotion, if this mental thought, is it going to live forever or is it going to die? If it's going to die, then why not just let it go and go back to the center, the core that will never die? It's only a choice. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is so simple. When people say, I don't need to meditate, I often wonder exactly what they're saying to me. If it happens to be a person that is in such power within that they are in the flow of the divine inspiration at all times, then I would say easily, no, of course, don't bother. My friends, I haven't seen one yet. I haven't seen one yet. It is possible. No question about it. But I think it's presumptive to jump into a future state before you've done your homework. Graduation is fine, but you can't graduate till you've done your homework. And it is the most simple thing in the world. And that is what it's all about. So, as you go through your daily life, moment to moment to moment, how many of those moments are you taking time to go within and begin to increase? All you're doing is increasing the movement of the divine power within. That's all meditation is about, is increasing the movement. Your own life tells you again and again, when you pay attention to something, it changes it. Everybody knows that. Things that you pay attention to, you change. You even change the form of things. You know, plants, for example. Everyone knows this now, that you and plants have an interrelationship. Your thoughts go to the plants. The music that you play goes to the plants, and it changes their form. Do they bloom more? Do they bloom less? What kinds of things affect all this? It's all of the barriers are breaking down all over. Everyone is now able to see clearly. You have effects. You affect each other. Now let us talk about that. I think it very naive to think that you do not affect each other's spiritual unfoldment. Those of you who are living in close relationship one to the other, if you could see, and we touched on this last week, but we'll touch on it again, if you could see with inner eyes, you would understand that just as you touch each other with your mind, you stimulate that part of the other person. Let me be more explicit. I have stated that the greatest help one friend can give to another is to hold them with the view, the mirror of themselves, as infinitely divine, totally creative, and totally one with the all. That is the mirror that a friend holds for a friend. They don't talk about their limitations. They don't hold up their problems. My friends, none of you are perfect. Are you aware of that? None of you are perfect. You are going to make mistakes. You are going to be foolish. You are going to get angry. You're going to get jealous. You're going to get resentful. Yes, yes, so what? So what? That is the human condition. So be it. Let it lie. Do not concern yourself with that. Hold the mirror that says, yes, all right. Right now, that's what you are, but this is what stands behind it. And a real friend holds that up over and over again so that the other can begin to have faith that that is indeed what they are. And you see, it isn't a game, my friends. It is a truth. Your energy moves out and then stimulates whatever part of the other person that you're looking at. Do you understand me? You are vortex of energy. That's what you are. And as you send out your thoughts to others, as you send out your feelings to others, you will stimulate whatever part of that person is corresponding. Do you understand? It's a one-to-one relationship. If you're thinking hateful thoughts and they're going out, they're going to stimulate that part in the person that is going to make them feel more inadequate, more anxious, more nervous, more self-pity, more self-doubt. That's what's going to happen. On the other hand, if you send out quite another thought, then you're going to stimulate that part of them that is yearning to come into its own of understanding and totality. And then they begin to feel courage. Courage. Yes, all right, I think I can do it. Yes, I'm almost sure I can do it. Well, at least I'm going to try to do it. And you will then help them to become more of what they are. The greatest mistake you make as humans is taking the limited face that is presented and saying it is real. There is nothing unchangeable about any of you. Nothing. Nothing. And when you begin to truly know that, then you begin to free up the bonds and say, then, all right, I will begin to be more, and I will let others be more. But understand this, my friends. The way to begin is within yourself. Because when you begin to taste of the freedom within yourself, then you can allow others to be free. A prisoner is only jealous of those that are free. Do you understand me? A prisoner cannot be rejoicing in another's freedom because they feel so terrible about their own confinement. But when you begin to be free within yourself, then you begin to allow others their freedom. It works that way. So every taste of freedom you get, you're ready to share with others, totally, allowing them. Two guys. When the ego comes up, so what? When the divine is filling you, share it. It's so simple. So those of you who would like to be real friends one to another, please use that as your criteria. What part of their being are you stimulating with your own energy? What part? And a true friend continually goes to the source, continually sees that, the perfection, continually pulls that out so that their friend can rejoice in their own wholeness. When you think of someone who is ill, who is in difficulty, who is in depression, whatever, you know, so many games, whatever. If you put your mind on their difficulty, then what are you doing? You are creating more energy field in that very area that they're trying to combat. You're just making it greater. You're adding more flame to an already infected area. So, instead of working with that, my suggestion is not to play games with that. Let it be. It is a state. It is an illness. All right, so what? And how to overcome that? The best way is to bring forward into the foreground the other wonder of it, which is the divine, the sparkling life, the dynamic power of the one God that can move through all of that and stand in the foreground. Let the other things recede, my friend. So what? So what? So what if there is illness and depression? So what? There is at the same time the constancy of the divine, and the depression falls and they become better, and the illness falls and they become better, and so on. But your job all the time, bring that other forward. Those of you who have children, that's a maximum gift. A maximum gift to a child. To hold that as their light. That in the foreground. Not ignoring and pretending that the other doesn't exist. Do you know, that doesn't help to say, oh no, you're not really ill. Oh no, you're not really confused. Oh, you're not really, you know, depressed. They would say, how foolish of you. Can you not see? So the statement is, yes, I see. But I see something else, too. So, I hope I've made this clear. This is why you make a choice each moment of your life. You either choose to vitalize and bring forward and enliven the divine within you, or you choose to bring and enliven something else. Choose what you will. It's all up to you. It's all up to you. Are there any questions?
You speak sometimes of limiting constructs, and I nod as though I know what you're saying, because I think I do. And then I try to bring it out in some form I can utilize, and I don't know.
Give me an example, my friend.
Well, something that we do build in our minds that we should really see beyond or work beyond in order to free ourselves. Well, I'm not sure what you mean by a construct, a personal relationship.
All right, now let me explain. The mind is like the walls of this room. Within the mind and without the mind is the divine. All right? But because the walls are here, which the mind has built, you do not see the connectedness with the vastness. You only see the limited divine or limited area within which you live. Now, anything that builds a wall to keep you and the divine separated is, in my mind, a limitation. Now, the best way, in my experience, to break down that wall is simply to be aware that they are there. Because I said before that the problem with thoughts are that you cannot see them. And if you cannot see them, humans think the things they see are more real than the things they cannot see. And this is an illusion. Because the things that are much more real, that have much longer life, are the things that you cannot see, which are your thoughts. Those are the things that are more real than your physical. Because when you die, make no mistake, a part of the mind is going to go on with you. Make no mistake. A part of your mind goes on with you. But your physical body does not. Everything is in the reverse of what you think. You think the body is so real and the mind is so gossamer, the absolute opposite is the truth. That your mind thoughts are very long and strong and powerful, and as a human race you have created great thought forms. And you have held to those thought forms through centuries of time. And your mind will go on and your body will drop. So, how to overcome? Very simple. Just be aware that they are there. And the statement always should be brought forward. So what? However vast your thoughts, you know, you can just take your thoughts to the highest and have all of these great hierarchies. Oh my, they have such great times with all these hierarchies and who's on top and what are their names and where, what colors do they come from. Fine, fine. Go on if that pleases you. But they are limitations. They are still walls. They are still limitations. So, the answer is so simple, which is to simply stay within your being. And as you begin to build the power, you see, everything depends on the power. Nothing can happen without the inner power, not of arrogance, but of divine wisdom. That's all. And it is so simple. All you have to do is get within your being and stay there long enough, and it will begin to teach you. It will begin to lead you. It will begin to show you. It will all be done. And then the walls go down. You cannot break those walls down. I do not believe in attacking the enemy. I do not believe in that. Attacking the enemy creates a great relationship with you and the enemy. Try it. Who do you think most of? Those you love and those you hate. They both can take up your mind an endless time. Do not turn anything into a hatred, because you will be wedded to it even stronger than you are to those things that you feel you love. Hatred is a tremendous bonding compound. So, what is the answer? It's very simple to me. It's to simply understand that that is part of the human condition. Fine. Don't try to change the human condition. You are that. Accept it. At this time in your life, that's what is manifesting as human condition. So, step back. Go within your being and begin to feel of the power. It is so simple, and I try to say it as many different ways as I can. When you get within your being and understand within yourself and taste of that life, then you will understand what I mean. The walls will go down. You cannot blast holes in your walls. You know, the Christ spoke wisely. By thyself thou can do nothing. But with God all things are possible. You cannot destroy your own mental mind. You can know that they are there. That is the first step. You must be aware that you are limited, because most humans do not think they are limited. They do not believe it. They think this is enough. This is enough? This? No. You can only say that if you haven't tasted of anything else. You know, you're in a cave and the door is locked and you think this is enough. The people outside say, banging on the door, come out, come out, there's wonders out here. Oh, no. That's all I see. I'm banging. That's all. You have to get up and walk. The rules are such that I cannot open the door and go down and get you. You must choose. You come to the doorway, and then, help can be there to open the door. Yes, that I will grant you. But you must walk to the door alone. I cannot go down. No one can go down and get you. No one. So, knowing, part of the moving to the door is knowing that you have such limitations, that they are there, pulsating and real, and that they do run your life, that they do limit you. All of your ideas of what you need, what you should have, how people should respond to you, what kinds of people are good, what kinds of people are bad, what kinds of experiences are pleasurable and which ones are not, all of those things, my God, how can you find out of all that morass a happy life? Because every day is bound to frustrate you. Every day must frustrate you. If you have decided how other people should treat you, and you go out into the world, you're going to have a lot of different responses from people. And it's not because it's only you, it's because it's them. They can respond to you negatively when it has nothing to do with you. Did the Christ walk the earth and no one ever say a bad word to him? What nonsense. All these people that say you only get negativity if you're filled with it yourself, no. No, you get what you need. That's all I can tell you. You get what you need. Not what you deserve and all those ominous words. You get what you need. And as you walk through your life, if you have constructed it that people should only respond in a certain way to you, my friends, you are going to be frustrated constantly. But what happens if you have no expectations about how they should treat you? None. Open. Today I will let it happen, whatever way it should happen. And I will stay in my center, and so what? Now that's a different way to live a day. That is a different way to live a day. Do you hear? Because you cannot get out in the world and change other people's responses to you. It isn't possible. But you can get within yourself and allow all responses to be of equal importance to you, or equal importance, whichever you choose. Within you, is the freedom. Most humans go through life trying to change all of the people in their world so that they will not hurt them, so that they will not insult them, so that they will not underrate them, so they will not give them any problems. That's manipulation, and it takes a great deal of energy. You will find, instead of using that energy outside to manipulate your environment, you use that same energy to go within your being and stay centered in the core of things and perceive all things from that center, that you're using that energy, which is always available, to your advantage. And then allow people to be as they are. So what? How do you know how people should respond? How do you know what they need? You cannot know. So allow them. But nothing should bother you. Only because you aren't that. You aren't that. You aren't a bunch of mind, thoughts, and emotions. That's not what you are. You have misidentified. Yes, I grant you, you have misidentified, but you did it and you can undo it. What you have done, you can undo. It isn't got the stamp of the divine life. If God had done it, you could not undo it. But he didn't do it. So you can undo it. You made those barriers, and you can destroy them. And the best way is to not fight them. You know, many of the wise books say, in order to make The biggest strides against evil is to make strides toward the good. My translation of that is, instead of trying to battle your difficulties, make strides in your inner strength, and then your outer difficulties are very simple. They are not as hard as you think. Those of you present who have difficulties with other people in their job relationships, so forth, the answer is simple. Don't try to change anybody. Anybody. Make no judgments. How do you know? How do you know? My friends, how do you know what they have gone through to be where they are? One cannot judge, but one can be compassionate. Hold one thought in mind. All are struggling for the light in whatever way they can. And if the way looks strange to you and painful and cruel, be understanding. They're striving as best they can. To understand that when you meet life with that heart, then everything does change. They're doing the best they can and making no judgment. And working on yourself. That's all that's required. And when you begin to take your energy out of the periphery and draw it all in to the center of things, then that power of life begins to sing in you. And you know, when the power of life sings in you, you don't care what anybody's doing. You just don't care. It's truly said. You don't care. Because somehow you've learned something wondrous, which is that joy is within, has nothing to do with the without. Nothing. Nothing. Love has nothing to do with other people. Love has to do with you and what's within you. That's all it has to do with. Nothing else. Once you know this, you're free, because others cannot move you. They cannot sway you. They cannot destroy you. They cannot harm you. You are absolutely safe. Always have been. Never could be other than that. But you've lost your point of safety. Just go home. It's very simple. It's so simple. Just go home. It is almost as if you do sit in a house with beautiful, uplifting and blissful thoughts, and the world is there around you. It's almost like that. With such joy. Are there any questions?
Bartholomew, I try to see others as doing the best they can, but I don't often see myself as doing the best I can.
Yes. Does that sound familiar to any present? All right. You know, the wondrous paradox of ego is that as long as it keeps you down, feeling yourself to be very worm-like, then it has total control of you. Because everybody knows that God doesn't love worms. Everybody knows that, don't you? God doesn't love you if you aren't wonderful and perfect. You know that, don't you? You see, it's absolute nonsense. But your religions teach you this, my friends. Be aware of that. Your religions teach you that God would only love you if you are A, B, C, D. God only loves you if you follow 1, 2, 3, 4. God only loves you if you're capable of doing X, Y, Z. Your religions put it out there for you, my friends. You made your religions and you're stuck with the residue. You are stuck until you pull your feet out of the mud. And the fact is that God always loves you and he doesn't care what you do. Never has, never could. Why? Because he knows that what you do is illusory, transient, and will die. And it has no eternal power in it, and it will not live. It will not live. And what does he care about the transient that does not live forever? He deals in the realms of the eternal. He has nothing to say about the rest of it. but you have a lot to say about it. So one of the greatest grips that your elusive and limited ego has on you is you cannot feel this joy. You cannot feel good about yourself because that's going to be arrogance. Oh. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is the greatest hook that religion has in you. When you start to feel wonderful and loving and whole and excited and good and successful, then the society comes and says, ah, that's the last step now. That's arrogance. That's pride. So you let it all go. All right, I'll be a worm again. You're right. You're right. I'm not successful. I'm no good. I don't love anything or anyone. I never could. I never have. I'm awful and terrible. And then you feel better. What the paradox? You feel better because you feel bad. I see tremendous paradox in your relationship to each other in life. Tremendous paradox. My answer is very clear. There's only one way you will be free of that feeling, and that is the same thing. I'm sorry I am so repetitive, but there is only one, in my understanding, only one elixir to any of these problems. And the elixir is the elixir of life that's within you that will tell you and will show you that you are not what you think you are. My friends, you're playing a game with yourselves. Every morning, if you sit in any kind of meditation with any degree of desire to really be in touch with your inner being, you will be in touch. You will. Those of you who have problems, I have problems. Yes, you have problems because that's not what you want. So, when your life pushes you into the corner, for whatever reason, and you are struggling there in the corner, instead of standing up, just sit down. You're in the corner, don't try and get out, sit down. Right there, in that corner, sit down. And out of that, come into this wondrous knowledge that you don't have to go anywhere and change anything and do anything. Just sit there with yourself and be who you are. Now, if you're doing your homework of meditation carefully, you will start to have this feeling of how really wonderful you are. You will start to. Then I would ask you to do one thing. Don't share it. Because when you begin to talk to other people about it, they are going to respond out of their own being. They will begin to respond and start to make things difficult for you. Do you understand? A new plant needs to be protected by a tin can. Just be still. Because when you start talking, other people are going to start to erode. You see, it's very hard for another person to see another person bursting into life and joy when they're sitting there so miserable. I mean, they may want to. A part of their being may want to say, I'm so happy for you. But inside they're saying, phooey, why not me? Why not me? What have you got that I haven't got? And not even meaning to, will begin to poison that which you have begun to grow within yourself. So be still. There's real reason for the old tradition of mysteries of silence. Comparing experiences is a very negative way to grow with each other. Because then one gets jealous. Oh, why didn't I get a blue cross and a green tree growing out of a silver circle? Why did I just have two angels talking on the... whatever, you know, all of these things. But people do this. Make no mistake. I talk lightly, but I'm speaking truth. They do it. Constantly they compare. How are you doing? Well, how am I doing in comparison to them? And so forth and so on. Nonsense. Each of you will go your own way. So, number one. If you want to really know that you are not a worm, then get in touch with your inner being and listen to it. And if you can sit there and get in touch with the life divine within you and then tell me you're a worm, then you're doing something wrong. Come to me and let's find out what it is. Because it is not possible to be in touch with divine life and still feel yourself to be wormness. It is not possible. If that is your response, you're in touch with something else. And let's find out what it is. It isn't possible. When you start tasting of that daily, 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 it's your happy pill, if you will, in the morning. Everyone, if I could give you a happy pill, how many of you would forget to take it? If I could give you a pill that you would take every morning and it would make your day happy, how many of you would fail to take that pill? Huh? But when I say sit and be still and know, then what? Oh, well. That requires me to do something. It takes a little longer than just opening my mouth and swallowing something. So I don't know about that. But I will tell you this. Meditation is your happy pill. I don't mean giddy, happy, giggling. I'm talking about a deep inner feeling of knowing the joy of being alive. Because, my friends, all I'm trying to do is get you in touch with life. I don't mean human life. I don't mean limited life. I mean life. The life divine, and it's so obvious. I mean, it's there within you constantly. Constantly singing. Constantly singing. So, please, take your happy pill, will you? Just try it. Try it for a year, every morning. No excuses. So you feel terrible, so what? So you're hungover, so what? So you've taken dope, so what? So you've had a fight, so what? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Do it. 1 year. Every morning. No excuses. No excuses. And then see. Because eventually, you know, the first battle is the body, getting the body to quiet down. Then the next battle is the mind, getting the mind to quiet down. But it can be done. It's so simple. If you'll only give your mind and heart to it, it will happen. And each time you turn your awareness there during the day, you're helping the next morning. Be aware of that. Each time you turn your mind within during the day, you're helping the next morning. You're helping the whole process. You see, people say, well, I used to meditate a lot, and I suppose it's still doing me good. And I say, oh, no, it isn't. You understand? If you hit a gong, It's silent. You hit it. You hit it powerfully. It will resonate. It will vibrate for a certain length of time. But then what happens? It'll stop. And so is it with your inner divine being. If you're not vibrating it every day, it's going to stop. And it simply will not vibrate for you anymore. It is so simple. All of life is symbolic. It tells you that wherever you look. And yet you go within and put up a whole new rules. The rules are the same. That which you give attention to will keep vibrating. And when you stop, it will stop. You could do mantra, you could do prayer, you could do meditation, you could do whatever it is that you enjoy doing for 25 years. And if you stop doing it, it'll stop. So where do you put your choice? Meditation is the vibration. Understand, each time, each day, you turn your mind to that vast area of your being and begin to vibrate it. It keeps it in vibration. Do you understand? It's very simple. Do you see it? It's so clear.
Like touching the gong again?
Exactly. Exactly. And, of course, the best thing is to have somebody there constantly hitting that gong, not with a tremendous mallet, perhaps, every time, but just giving it a tap. And, you know, this is why so many of you who are really deeply within to it, into finding out your true self, I suggest that at least once an hour you spend some time with it. This is a very common thing now, a wash in the earth plane, and it works very well. I'm talking about the mundane business of putting a watch on your and looking and saying, I mean, how mundane, how boring, that's not very spiritual. No, no. I mean, we don't want that. Nonsense. How are you going to do this? If you're not using your day, how are you going to be free? How? So, you look at the watch, you say, it's time. All right, then you go within and you gong the gong. That's all I'm asking. Gong it any way you want. Use whatever tool you can, but gong it. I don't care what you have to do. Set your timer so it rings. Irrelevant. Get one of those wondrous... I've often thought since I observed this on the earth plane, someone had a watch that I saw that had a bell to it that went off at a certain time. I thought, how wonderful. Every spiritual seeker should have one of those and set it for every 15 minutes that it goes off and you remember. You set it for the next 15 minutes to go off. Do you understand? That way it would just keep a wondrous pattern, but I don't imagine they're possible. But a spiritual watch, work on it. Do you understand the point? You have to resound the being within you. And the more times you turn to it, the more velocity you will get behind it. And the more power. And the more times you hit it, the greater the tone. The stronger the tone, the deeper the tone. And that's all meditation is. And that's all moment-to-moment awareness is. That's all it ever is. You can call it anything you want. It's all a game. It's all a gimmick to just get that going. So, are there any other questions? Yes?
I have what is becoming a proverbial question. comes up periodically, and maybe it doesn't ever need to be addressed, about a spring festival, house cleaning, dedication, or something up here.
Fine. Let us deal with that at the end after we finished our tapings. And very good.
And I can use what I was talking about yesterday, be still, and know that I'm God. I could use that.
Of course. Of course. Of course. You see, everyone has a different gong. Everyone has a different mallet that they choose to use. And all we do in relationship as we sit together is to try and sift out of all of the myriad possibilities what is the most compatible with you. And when we find that, then that's all you do. I mean, if you want to look at it this way, I think it's the simplest way to perceive it. Just, you know, what are you... And understand this. You have many gongs. I mean, there is that divine energy. But then there are others. There's your emotional, what the yogis call your emotional body. And then there's your mental body. I mean, you know, we could play this game infinitely of talking about the sheaths that surround you. Oh, my, we could be very eloquent. But the fact is that there are various energy fields surrounding each vortex of energy that you choose to call a person. And you just choose to stimulate one or the other. People who are in deep sexual relationships, what they're doing continually is throbbing on that one, banging that one until they're... And then the energy moves out, and that is all they can see. And then there's the great intellect who completely ignores all the other fields. But no, he or she takes the intellectual field and bangs on that all day, and then it resounds. And it... Understand this. You draw like energy to you. Whichever one is the strongest within you is the amount of energy corresponding from the universe that comes to meet you. I've told you, you take one step forward, the divine takes 20. The divine takes 100. The divine takes 1,000. But it is equally true that every step along these other paths that you take, the corresponding energy comes in that amount of increments. For example, those who are very deeply into the sexual relationships or very much into the intellectual relationships, emotional relationships, every time you move into that, realize too that your little movement a little way brings a great deal of energy to you of like substance. This is why the very fact that you take your insane people and put them in insane asylums is the greatest harm you could possibly do. When you take someone who has violated your wondrous laws and says, you can't do that, even though you're starving, how dare you steal? How dare you, even though you're starving? How dare you? You take that person and you incarcerate them in a large building filled with other people of like mind, of like despondency, of like darkness, all you are doing is building a greater darkness around you. Don't you see that the obvious thing to do is to take that one and put them in the greatest center of light that you possibly could, so that they will have coming toward them the greatest light instead of compounding the darkness? You take all your sick people, you put them all in one building. And what are you doing? You're greatly increasing the amount of illness. Now they have not only their own illness to fight, but the vibrational frequencies of illness that surround them, and fear and death and all of this, and it's just making it harder for them. You've done the wrong things because you don't like to be bothered. You like to have those people in very organized little boxes so that you don't have to stumble over them every day. You don't want to see a crazy man walking down the street. You want him in a box so you don't have to look at him. You don't want to be embarrassed. How many of you have looked at someone who was either mentally retarded or a little bit crazy and felt a little embarrassed? You don't know what to do. Well, you know, you just as soon not deal with them, and well, I don't know what to say, and so on. What is this response that you have? What is it? What is it? Look at it carefully. It underlines a lot of your lives. Fear of moving into areas that you have no awareness of how to take care of. How do you know how to take care of a madman? Do you? You have to just be open and do whatever happens. And that is the one thing the human cannot do. You like to have programs all lined up. You know, that's why you study so hard, so you'll know exactly what to do in the next moment. Because if you study, well, then you know what to do. Whether it's the right thing or not is irrelevant. You've done something, and that's what's important to you. So, understand what's happening and why it is very helpful to keep things open and free so that you don't have people in little compartments. And people put each other in compartments all the time. Yes?
Is balance then important?
Let us talk about balance, because I know that you are concerned about it. I would like to talk about two kinds of balance, one that you brought up before, and I did not answer adequately, and I will at this time, I hope. It has been stated that because of reincarnation, that one comes in to balance out one's nature, one's this and one's that, one's feminine, one's masculine nature, and I think we had a question on this that came. The question was such, I feel this is the right, please correct me on this, but the question that was asked was, does the male have an unconscious female and vice versa, all of this? Well, I suppose that if you want to look at it that way, you may. I have no objection. You can personify these energies any way you want to, male, female, dog, cow, horse. I have no particular preference to what you say. But you're missing the truth when you put things in these forms. Because what you are saying is that at this moment, you do not have available within you the totality of things. And that is a lie. When you say that you need to be balanced, that means that you are in a state of imbalance and have to do something to become balanced. And that is a lie. The fact is that you have so much surrounding you that you have closed out that would absolutely show you the balance and beauty and harmony of each moment. But because of your limitations, because of the mind construct, because of your belief structure, you do not allow the totality of your being to flood in you and see that you are balanced. Do you understand? You are balanced. How can you not be balanced? I'm sorry about my voice level. Is it disturbing the child? I am sorry. No. You look at yourselves and you say, I am not balanced. And I say to you, you're not looking. You're not looking because you've got your walls up. You grab your walls all around and you say, well, I'm a man. I cannot have female energies. I don't understand women. Men say this all the time. Nonsense. Women say, oh, men, I can't possibly understand them. Nonsense. What is this? These are limiting factors. Do you see? You say them all the time. Because why? You want to feel unique. If you don't understand somebody, that means that you are different. You are unique. You are special. You are a woman. You are a man. And that's special, isn't it? And so, of course, you can't understand the world of men or animals or vegetables, all in the same category, usually. You understand what I'm saying? You can understand anything you want because you have the access to all of it. You don't have to die to have access to what you are. Do you understand how your mind has tricked you into saying that, oh, well, when I die, then I will understand? Oh, no. Oh, no, my friend. You don't have to die. Do it that way if you want. But it isn't necessary. You can know now. You can be balanced now because you are balanced. Now, people who think strongly in male-female terms oftentimes have to play out that drama. And they enjoy doing it. It gives them a great deal of fun. And so what? Go to it. I have no objection. But it is a limiting factor to say that a man has this kind of a mind and a female has that kind of a mind. All I will give to you is this. You have chosen to incarnate in a particular body with a particular sexual stance. Yes, I will give you that. And that is all I will give. Many men in male bodies are very feminine. Many women in women bodies are very masculine. And we have all the lines in between, awash, like a great sea. And what you're trying to do is to put these all in little bottles and put labels on it. This is male and this is female. Nonsense. You are a sea of undulating light. And you're trying to take this sea and put it into bottles, put names on it, and I say, go ahead, but you're not going to work. It won't work. There's too much power in God to allow that. But do it if you will. So the question about balance is simply, if you have a limited idea of yourself, then you would say, yes, well, this is lacking in me. So therefore, I need to balance this out. And my friends, the problem with that approach to life is it's what I call the pitter-patter up the ladder approach. And the problem with it is that it will take lifetime and lifetime and lifetime because you will always find something you don't know. You will always say, oh yes, well I've got all that together, but then there's this thing. And then there's this thing because you're talking about the ego. You're talking about balancing an illusory thing that's going to die anyway. And you can do all you want to do that. You know, it's just like a child sitting in a bathtub and with a great deal of soap bubbles around them. And this child is absolutely adamant on balancing those soap bubbles and making the most perfect castle possible. And it spends all its time and voila, it works. It has this castle. And then what happens? And that's precisely what you do with your ego lives. You try to build this wonderful castle, and it's got to be, the parapets have to be balanced, has to have the right amount of this in it and that in it, and the right areas around it and so on. All of this. And it's going to die. So why bother? There isn't any need to, in one lifetime, be highly intellectual and highly this and highly that and highly the other. Wherever you have taken a certain life and chose to live it out this way, it doesn't matter why, my dear friend. It doesn't matter. Finding out why doesn't free you. Only one thing frees you is knowing who you are. Finding out why you take a particular life, many psychics can tell you that, but are you any happier when you know that? Are you any happier? Or have you just added another excuse so that you don't work so hard? You know, I know this sounds terrifying, but I'm not terribly in favor of psychics. And the reason is this. They can take the pain and anguish out of your life and therefore remove the fuse that can blow you to heaven. Do you all understand me? If you continually go to a psychic that says, oh, well, this is the reason, and this is the relationship, and this is the past, and now you understand, and so on, and you do this continually, I don't mean once or twice or three times in a lifetime, I'm talking about the addiction to going to someone and having these things explained, and many people do this. You take the fuse out, because it is your anguish, it is your difficulty, it is your misery that is the prod that says, I'm fed up, and I don't want to be limited anymore. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to feel inferior. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to feel this. I'm not. God, it's your turn. I've had enough of this other stuff. And it is those fuses that rocket you out to heaven. And if everybody keeps defusing your rockets, where are you going to get the velocity? I'm very frank on this. Where are you going to get the velocity? If you have no pain and anguish in your life, where is the velocity? The wonder of life is that you're going to die. And that very fact, used correctly, can get you enough retro fuel to get wherever you want. But most of you don't want to look at that. It's only when you're in your older years you say, yes, I admit it, now I'm going to die. All of you are going to die. And I will tell you this, the pattern at which you're going to die is not the way you think at all. Some of you, because you're young, think, well, I've got a long time. Well, maybe and maybe not. Some of you that are older think, oh, well, I'll go soon. Well, maybe and maybe not. There may be a lot more. All right. My point is this. The one thing that is the wonder of getting you free is if you take the death of your ego as a serious undertaking. And when you finally get serious about that, then you have enough fuel to get you wherever you need to go. But people don't like to look at that. Do you understand what I'm saying? The very fact that you know, I mean, I think this is a great gift. The very fact that you know you're going to die from the time you were born, you've known that. If you could use that, it is one of the greatest tools to freedom. But you don't address it. You don't address it. My friends, you don't have an infinite amount of time on this earth plane. And you might as well understand what it's all about before you have to leave it. And who are you to say how long you have? Who are any of you to say that? Believing in reincarnation can be a great problem and a great detriment, because it gives you an excuse. Well, so I won't do it this lifetime. That's all right. There's always another lifetime. That is why the Christian ethic dropped it out of their belief structure. Not because they didn't believe in it, but because they saw that it wasn't helpful. Too many diffused fuses that way. And my friends, it is true with many of you. So what if you have another 5 lives to live, another 1,000? If you want to believe in the Hindu tradition, do you know how many lives they give you? Look it up. And then be dismayed. It's in the millions. The Hindu tradition believes that you live on this earth plane in the millions. How do you feel about that?
Not good.
Take your own death seriously, my friends. I don't mean become morbid and droopy and discouraged and out of touch. Use it. That's why the Buddhists, you know, have you meditate on death. Not because they want you to become morbid and droopy, but because they want you to come to life. And so they ask you to meditate, not only on death, but your own death. They have you look at the body and the composition of your body. And I grant you, lovers have a little trouble. One of the jobs that a Buddhist monk will give to his students, male and female, who are in a love situation, is to meditate on the decaying of your beloved's body. It's a great bucket of cold water. But it's closer to the truth than many things. Do you understand what they're trying to do? They're trying to catch your awareness that says, look, death is real. That you know. The rest, you cannot know. What the rest of your life will be like, you don't know. One thing you do know, if you're awake at all, is that you will die. So use it. There's plenty of fuel in that rocket, believe me, if you'll only address it. And live each moment. What if you only had one day and knew it? What would you do with it? If you could live each day that way, saying, look, this is the last. Where will I put my awareness this day? And some of the great, great gurus and teachers on the earth plane use that. They say to their disciple, you will be dead in 6 months. And if I thought it would work with you, I'd do it with you. But you wouldn't believe me. I told you, I will try anything. I have no honor in that sense. I will try anything. Anything! Lie? Oh, yes. If it'll free you, I will lie. And if I thought for a moment you would believe me, I would tell you all you will be dead in 6 months. Dead, rotting, decaying. And then see how you lived your lives. But you won't believe me. But the great teachers use these devices. Why? To be cruel? No. Because they know that the impetus of that kind of feeling is needed in order to get you to a place where your awareness is so single-pointed that you can become free. Please address these things within your being. Please. The gift of death is the greatest gift because it means that you have enough within that one concept to free you from illusion. It is the greatest gift. If you thought you had to live this kind of a life eternally, what would you do? You couldn't get out of it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. That is my idea of hell, my friends. To feel that this is it forever, eternally, with the difficulties and the confusions and the misunderstandings and the heartbreak and the disease and the mental derangement. No, my friends, no. This isn't all. Take your death seriously, please. Not in the morbid sense, but in the enlivening sense. You've got a job to do. Get it done before you die. Very simple. If you meditate on death, many wondrous things will open. First, you will see what it is and what it is not. Second, you will see what dies and what does not die. And third, you will see that it doesn't matter at all. Are there any other questions?
Apparently, this realization about death and the fact that we do not know when we are going to die was one of the early awakenings of Milarepa.
You see, everyone who has taken this whole thing seriously, you see, I keep saying to you, you think that you're living your life seriously. My friends, you are not living your life seriously, because if you were, the one thing you would face daily is that you're going to die. That is the only thing you know. You do not know what happens when you die. You do not know what's going to happen between now and the moment that you do die, but what do you know? You know that you are, and you know that you will die. I think that's plenty enough to address the problem. And people like Milarepa saw absolutely that the veil falls, and the reason is very clear. The very fact that you have this pushing at you all of your life should be sufficient. But what do you do? Well, you do different things. You drink so you don't think about it. You have a lot of sexual relationships so you don't think about it. You work very hard so you won't think about it. You read a lot of books so you won't think about it. You talk to your friends a lot so you won't think about it. Fine. Ignore it if you will, but it won't go away. I would like to close by saying that just as humans have cycles, so does the planet that you live on have cycles. And you're entering into a cycle now as the spring comes. Don't miss it. Just as the world shows you the rising of new life, new beauty, don't miss it. The energies are at maximum in spring and summer. All of the energies that you're looking for. Don't miss it. You may not have another year. Don't miss it. All of this can be done in a moment. It doesn't take time to know who you are. Awaken. It's so simple. Awaken. It is so simple.